life. You know, we have goals, different goals, natural goals. We have spiritual goals as well. You might have a physical goal. Maybe you want to exercise or lose weight or something, or an attitude check. You know, in your life. So there's a whole pile of things that people are doing, and I want to just remind you about, you know, we're people of faith, all of us that are born again Christians all over the world, where we got saved by believing in Jesus, and after the very first day after you're born again, you continue to believe for different things, and continue to believe. Without faith, the Bible says it's impossible to please God. And faith is the key to everything we have, everything we'll ever do in the kingdom of God. And our prayers are operated by faith. We believe in the Holy Ghost by faith. We receive healing by faith. And like this morning, Pastor Ken was teaching about talking about tithing, and many people don't believe in tithing. Well, that's fine if you don't believe in it, but don't criticize us who believe in it. The other thing is, well, you know, if you don't tithe, don't criticize someone. And also, those of us that do tithe, we shouldn't be criticizing those people who don't do it. So it works on the, it's all by faith. And so you're going to give, you're going to bring the tithe to the Lord and present it to Him. You know, you present it to Jesus, basically, that's what Scripture says, and He's a high priest, and He's forever after the priesthood of Melchizedek, and it's something that you have to see in the Bible and believe according to the Scripture. You don't just do it because someone said it, because Pastor Ken said it, or I said it, or somebody else said it. You do it because you make that commitment on your own. That's what I did from the very beginning. I did it because I believed in it. I questioned the people who said it first when I heard it. I was at a Pentecostal church, started going there after I was saved. And then I heard it on Sunday morning, just reading that Malachi 3:10. And I began to tithe, and here I am after many, many years. And I always had my needs met. And I learned different other things concerning giving over the years. Which I learned by faith, and you have to learn all these things, sowing seed and so forth and so on, and it'll help you in the things of God. So I want to mention that, because I want to teach something today that'll help you. Romans chapter 3, and we're going to talk about, imitating somebody else's faith. And you can't just do something because you saw someone do it, or grandpa did it, or your church does it. You have to do this by yourself. You have to follow the things of God. According to the word of God, not according to tradition or culture or whatever it is. So let's go to Romans chapter 3, verse 3. It says, "For what if some did not believe, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect?" So we want to talk about real faith today. And the Bible says, what if someone didn't believe? You know, will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect, or the word of without effect? So just because there are some people who don't possess real Bible faith does not mean that there isn't real faith. Some people of God who try something because they think they have faith for various reasons become disappointed because their failure to accomplish what they believe, you know, that they were doing was correct. And so the Bible speaks that there is real faith and that there is something that looks like faith. You know, sometimes around here we talk about people who just act and mimic somebody else, and they don't get the results they desire because they were just copying somebody else. And so we want to make sure that you are going to walk by faith this year according to what you know, not according to what someone else knows. And so the Scripture says some people have given up faith. Some people have, And Timothy says, you know, some people have abandoned their faith because for various reasons. And over the years, I've seen different people abandon their faith because of different things. Maybe, because a relative had passed away, their dad died, and they tried to pray and believe God for them. And I was listening to Brother Hagin many, many years ago where, at Bible school, one of the students went home for Christmas and came back and was really distraught or disappointed in the fact that faith didn't work, and they were praying for someone, and they said they believed. You know, they took what they heard from Bible school and they brought it home and applied it to somebody else, and they were trying to believe for somebody else, and then they passed away. And discovering, after looking at the whole thing, they found out that this person, they, you know, eventually wanted to die. And there's some reasons why you don't know different things. You have to believe the scripture. You don't always know the facts. God knows everything. You have to trust God and believe him and put it in his hands, you know, some things like that. So as far as that person, you know, they were saying, we believe, we're believing. You know, you might be believing for something, but somebody else might be believing another thing. So you have to understand you can't override someone else's faith and what they want in life or their will. And so you have to look at all things according to Scripture and just be balanced in different things. So some people emphasize faith over the years. I've seen that. You know, we went to the Bible school, or it's actually a faith Bible school, or, you know, a man of faith who actually... established that school, and by the Holy Spirit, by leading the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Ghost said to them to start this Bible school. So all over the world, we have these schools and churches now, and we went there just to have the staff all here that are on this church ministry, and we all went to that school at one time or another in our life, and we ended up here together, and we've seen different ones over the years. They're going to try faith, or they're going to walk by faith. They attempt to walk by faith. They see what we're doing or see what I did, and they want to try it. And they try it for a couple of few years, and then they cast off their faith, and because something happened and they didn't understand different things. So we want you not to abandon your faith, as the scripture says. We want you to continue to walk in faith, and because faith... it's so important in life. The Bible says we're people of faith, and we walk by faith, not by sight. And the Bible says the just shall live by faith several times in the New Testament. And so we want to please God. The Hebrews says that without faith it's impossible to please God. And so all prayer, all kinds of prayer, all types of prayer. You know, we study scripture on here concerning prayer, and we teach a Bible course called Bible Principles, and every one of those Bible prayers are operating on the subject of faith. It all operates by faith. Everybody needs to understand that every prayer, if you don't understand the first element of prayer, the prayer of faith, all the other prayers will not work, because they all operate on the principle or premise of faith. And so, you know, for instance, if you believe, if you made a sin, say, for instance, you did something that was sinful, and you had a struggle with it, from time to time, maybe you've fallen back into it, and you ask God for forgiveness, and pretty soon you get to a place where you don't believe you're forgiven, and you get guilty, and your conscience bothers you, and the devil gets on you, and you have to believe at one point or another that God has forgiven you. And so some people carry guilt, and they carry condemnation. And so you have to learn that God has forgiven you once you confess it and give it up to him. He forgives you. And lots of folks, they don't believe that, so they walk around and unforgiven, or at least they feel they're not forgiven because of a sense of unrighteousness. And they don't get their prayers answered because they're not operating in faith. And so you have to walk by faith and not by sight. So we want to show you it's important for you to continue on in your faith life and operate and believe God and learn to be effective in your life. And so you can't just, you just can't just will your own faith over somebody or pray for somebody and make them do things. And if that was the case, we'd all have it made. We just pray one prayer and make everybody do whatever God wants you to do. And I was encouraged to hear different scriptures that God will work in someone. You know, the scripture says that it is God who works in you to will and to do his good pleasure. God will work in you. And so you have to have faith and patience. and believe that God's working in people. Maybe you're praying for your loved one, and you know, make sure that you're in faith in this area when you're praying for a loved one. It takes time for God to work in someone, and God's patient and will be working with that person. But don't give up faith, because they need you. Those people, they don't know it, but they need you to stand in faith for them to see the whole manifestation of what you need. Because in this world, we're fighting against principalities and powers and rulers of darkness. And we have to confront these spirits every single day of our lives. And if you don't do anything about it, God cannot do anything about it. And he will not do anything about it. He takes care of the spirits in the heavenlies. And we take care of the spirits that are here in this world, rulers of darkness and principalities and powers that are operating in this world. And so we have to take authority over those spirits by faith. Here again, it's something that you do by faith. And so there are things that are happening in people's lives that are really destroying them, and they don't understand that they have to take authority over them. You can't just ask God, God, please take care of this devil, or Lord, please make this devil stop. No, that's your job. You have to do it. You have to take care of those situations, and you have to be authoritative in your life and take the word of God and use it against the enemy. And it's important that you understand that God's not going to come around here. He's not going to make the devil do something for you. You have to do it yourself. And I don't know if you understand that, or understand what I'm saying, or get what I'm saying. You see, a lot of people are having that problem right now, and they don't understand about spiritual, you know, warfare and so on. They make spiritual warfare like something that they can't achieve or don't understand very much. But we need to understand spiritual warfare from the scriptures, because you cannot just do things, you know, abstractly in your mind. And it has to be really according to the scriptures. So don't abandon your faith, and walk by faith and not by sight. And so we want to teach you to operate in real faith. So some people who have started in faith, a faith life in the things of God, and so they don't walk with us anymore, because they've just quit and left their place. They failed at things because they thought they had faith, but they didn't have faith. They didn't know what faith was all about. So when something happens, when people fail and seem to fail in their what they call faith, it doesn't mean that faith is not real, and that didn't mean that you can't get attacked, and you have to know how to also defend yourself. Let's go to let's read that verse of scripture again. For what if some did not believe? Romans 3:3. What if someone did not believe? You see, right in that verse statement, it says that some people will not believe. They don't believe. What if someone did not believe? And so that's a question. So the second question is, will their unbelief make the faithlessness of that of God, faithfulness of God without effect? So God is always faithful. He'll always operate according to what he said he would do. And so because someone did not believe in the word of God, if they didn't believe the word, does it mean that God abandons what he's given us? Never. He will never abandon what he said he'd do. Over here in verse 4, it says, certainly not. God will not continue to be faithful to his word. He will always be faithful to his word. He'll continue. Just because someone doesn't believe, like somebody says, I don't believe in tithing. I've seen a whole bunch of controversy on, if you read everything on the internet, you go crazy. And some people have gone crazy because they have not, first of all, have founded their faith on the scripture. And so they're reading what everybody else says, and they're going off course. And you can always notice these people, because they're always alone somewhere by themselves, and they say they live a good Christian life, but they live alone, or they live all by themselves. So they don't ever interact with, you know, normal, everyday Christians working together. You know, we're meant to be together, working together. And very often I run into these people, and they challenge, you know, and they say, well, this doesn't work, and so on. Well, you know what? I'm not going to fight with them. The Bible says we should not fight with people. God didn't ask us to go around arguing. He told us just to preach the gospel and let the word of God work for them. Everyone has to make a choice to embrace the word themselves. And so, you know, you just, like, that's what I say around here. I've seen this over the years, people just mad, you know, mad at me Because we teach on tithing. Maybe some of us have taught tithing in the wrong spirit. But I know today I'm in faith, and I know that if you don't give, God's going to help me anyway. So I understand that. So I'm not going to try to force people. You can't force people to believe something. They have to believe it on their own. And so around here, I kind of don't want some of our guys to teach on different areas, because you have to understand a subject and get in the right spirit to teach certain things, because you have to see it yourself. And we're not going to, progress because we're forcing people and try to trick people into different things. No, that's not how it works. It works by faith. And if you hear the word of God, it's up to you to accept it or reject it. And that's what this scripture is saying. It's in Romans chapter 3, verse 4. It says, "Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true, and every man a liar, as it is written, you have maybe justified in your words and overcome when you are judged." So, we have to give up distractions. And there's different things in the world that distract you from walking in faith. So you can lose, if you abandon your faith, you can lose your healing. Or you could get sick again. Or you could be back into some area where you've been in bondage before, and you get into fear and so on. And if you don't walk in faith, if you don't understand what real faith is, you won't get your prayers answered. And so much, much more, you'll be lost. Someone said, can a million people be wrong about certain things? And and so on. Well, yes, sure. A lot of people can be wrong, but the Word of God is always true. If a million people said something against the Word of God, it'll still be wrong. And there are a lot of people, millions of people out there who don't believe in the Bible, thousands of people, maybe around even in this area of Thunder Bay, they don't believe the Bible. They'll dispute you about it. Don't waste your time on them. Just turn away and just walk by faith yourself, and you don't need that kind of trouble and heartache. Just let the Word of God be the Word of God, and you don't have to defend God. You don't have to fight with people. You don't need that kind of trouble. So, yes, millions of people can be wrong, but God is always true to His Word, and His Word will always be true no matter what people say. So, we can see, for example, here, the children of Israel lost out on 40 years of enjoying good life and good health and blessings, and they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. And you can see that today in life. It's a type and shadow where people who, they were God's people. I mean, these people of Israel, they were brought out from bondage. They were taken out from in Egypt under Pharaoh, a hard taskmaster, which represents the kingdom of darkness and the devil. And they brought out of there with Moses. Moses brought them out, and Aaron, and they led them out through. And they were supposed to take a short journey, but they ended up staying there for 40 years in the desert, wandering around in the desert. And there's some people today that are wandering around like a vagabond, and they have no sense, spiritually speaking. And so they're disputing with people. And like the people that disputed with Moses, they disputed with Aaron, and they fought against the things of God, and God brought them out. They saw the miracles. They experienced the things of God. They saw the things of God, and they wandered around in the desert. And eventually they died without seeing the promise of God. And the Bible said that all those people who were against Moses and his leadership and against the things of God, they said, we should have left us alone in Egypt. You know, some people, when they get saved, they got born again, and they were happy for a few months and maybe a few years, and now they're living a real life, and God required them to walk by faith, and so they got discouraged, and so they blame God, and they blame the Word of God. They say, the Word of God doesn't work, prayer doesn't work, faith doesn't work. And so they blame the pastor, and they get mad at people, and they're offended. The Bible says that some people get offended at the Word, and Mark, the Bible says in the Gospel of Mark, they are offended at the Word. And so people get offended because you teach certain things in the Bible, and they get mad because it ain't working for them. But you need to examine in your own life where you're wrong and what happened, why these things happen. And so it's important, like these Israelites, they wander around in the desert, And they all died except those that are 20 years and younger, and they went into the promised land. You see, you could be born again, legitimately born again Christian, have a wrong head, have a wrong attitude, and lose out on the things of God. And all along you thought you're in faith and you're believing, you're your own man, your own woman, your own self, and you want to make your decisions. And so you get into disputes with the things of God, and then you get into trouble, and you get upset and so on, and you get into your soul. And that's one thing about it. If we don't walk by our soul, we don't walk by our feelings, we don't walk by what we think. We walk by what the Word of God says. Ask yourself, am I thinking in line with the Word of God? Am I feeling in line with the Word of God? And if it is, if it's not, then correct yourself and make sure you grab a hold of yourself and that you can do that. The Bible says we take ourselves, the Bible said Romans, you know, we take our minds and we do something with it. We take our bodies and we make it obey us. So your spirit, which is the center and core being of your whole self, is the real you, and your spirit needs to be stronger than your body or your impulses and desires of your body, and you take that and you take exercise authority over it, because your body is your servant. Your body just doesn't tell you what to do. And for instance, yesterday I took my body out for another walk because it wanted to eat. I was very hungry, and I knew as I got up on the scale, it was getting back up there again. Every once in a while, I have to go and slap my body around, take it out for supper, but then again, I come home at midnight, I start eating, I'm going to the fridge. So you have to watch that. So, I'm just a little extra. There's a extra information you didn't need. So we need to teach people. Around here, I'm endeavoring to teach people faith, to people to walk by faith, because that's the only way to walk. When you talk about faith, you're talking about the Word of God. When I say faith, I'm talking about the Word of God. I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm not talking about situations. We don't walk by situations. We don't walk by circumstances. If this happens, I won't do this. No, we walk by the Word of God. So I don't care what people are doing. I'm going to walk by the Word. It's important that you make that decision and dedication yourself. So we all need to know and continue to look at ourselves. And we have to re-examine what real faith is and what it's not. Paul's discourse with young Timothy here, a Bible teacher himself, a pastor, a young man in the ministry, told Timothy, don't teach all that other stuff. Teach faith. Teach people how to walk by faith. Notice over here, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3 says, I urge you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge them that they teach no other doctrine. Teach no other doctrine. Teach no other doctrine. Well, what kind of doctrine are you going to teach? Well, it goes on to say, verse 4, nor give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which cause disputes rather than godly edification, which is in faith. So, this, if you start teaching different things that are not Bible, you're going to get into trouble. He says, teach the doctrine of faith. That's what he's talking about here. And there are things that are not faith. There are things that are something else. There might be culture. It could be tradition, traditions of man. It could be politics. It could be anything else. We should stay away from those things. I told someone the other day, there's far too many people in this world. I'm talking about the church people, born again, charismatics. They're onto all the stuff on politics. They're just got all kinds of opinions on who's right, who's not right, when they don't even have all the answers themselves. And so they make opinions, and they're getting into more and more hot water and more into fighting and getting all kinds of people all riled up, and everybody's got picking sides and so on. No, let's go and mind our own business. As the proverb says, a man needs to mind his own business and follow in the things of God, and you're going to be okay. Don't get upset. If we follow the things of God, we know that God told us what God told us to do. We stick with the Word of God, and walk in love, and make sure that we're doing okay ourselves. So, verse 5, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. Okay, so we're talking about, he says, everybody, he's telling Timothy, teach faith. He says, Everything hinges on this important thing, on walking in love and sincere faith. I always tell people around here about talking about the tithe and giving. You know, we give because we have faith in God. We do it not because I said it. Do it because you see it in the Word. You give or you give tithe because you see it in the Word. You don't do it because the pastor's forcing you or tricking you or whatever. You do it because the Word of God says something. You're doing it in response to the Word. And you give because you love God and you love to bless His people. You like to see somebody else be blessed. There's two reasons why. So it says here in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, it says that the purpose of the commandments is from a love, from a pure heart, and a good conscience, and from sincere faith. So when we talk about sincere faith in around the body of Christ, there's some people that don't really have a sincere faith or genuine faith. So the King James says unfeigned faith. Those of you King James people, unfeigned faith. I don't know if you actually use that word yourself every day. But the Bible says unfeigned. Do you know what unfeigned means? Or what unfeigned faith is? Paul mentions this, or at least it says this in the King James, unfeigned faith, in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5. So some Bible translation says that this unfeigned faith, according to King James, it means genuine faith, or a sincere, as we see here in the New King James, a sincere faith, or a true faith, a faith that is true, or a faith that is real. So there's the authentic or real, and there's the imitation. So sometimes you don't know the difference, especially when you're walking by faith, and when you're walking in the kingdom of God, you think some people are in faith. I've seen that over the years, just being in my own short time in the kingdom of God, I've seen people like, why did they leave God, and why are they back out there doing the same things again? Why are they back, doing all that stuff? And I question different things and ask myself different things here. Some people working in the kingdom of God, next thing they know, they're back out there doing something stupid, and something they'll be sorry for one day. And I ask myself, why is it that way? And if you look in the Bible, you see different ones that were walking with God or they were following God, and all of a sudden they're turned around and did something different. Well, if you follow your flesh, you and I be doing the same thing. It don't take very long. If I'm missing church and I'm out there, I'm sure I'd be out there doing the same things I did before I was saved. It wouldn't take long. The devil chips away at you and you're not responsible to the church. Like when you're out over there on your own, you're not responsible for much. And being in the church actually reminds you about your behavior and about the way you talk and what you do in life. When you're inside the church, you have that little pressure. It's a good pressure to help you walk by faith. But when you're out there, you're just like the world. You don't care. And so, I always tell my children and people that are around me, and when I go around in the city and I see different ones that are drunk in the street and peddling around and doing different things, I said, you know what, you see that guy right there? I said, if I leave the church, that's what I'll be like. Because I know myself and I know my flesh, and I know what my flesh loves. If I hang around people who smoke every day, I'll be smoking in no time. And that's my flesh. Like some people say, how could you say that? Well, I know my flesh. Never mind, you be quiet about it. I know my flesh. I know what like we take Ernie, he sits over on this side of the church. If you're on a chicken, he's going to have chicken in no time. He's just got that pull about chicken. And so every one of us, if we don't watch ourselves, can go right back to the way we used to be. And some of us have, even in church, we get the same bad attitudes. And you're sitting in church, you got the same bad attitudes that you used to have when you're out there. So what are you feeding yourself? What are you looking at? So when we fail, when other people fail, we ask ourselves, why did they fail? Why? What's going on? So what I'm saying is this. Some things look like faith, and it's fake faith. It's not real. It's not genuine, and it's not true. But because people have that, doesn't mean faith is not real or that faith doesn't work. And so you see people fail in from that standpoint. So there's the real faith, there's something called real faith, and there's something called imitation faith. Some things, they look like it, as I mentioned. Some things seem like it's real, but it's not. And some people fool themselves that they think they're walking in faith, when all along they were following somebody else, mimicking somebody else, they're copying somebody else, and they found out when they got out there on their own, they found out they were not really in faith themselves. So learn how to do the things of God on your own. Walk by faith. Have some little bit, as they say, backbone. I don't want to say independence because, you know, we don't want you to be independent all alone out there on your own. You need the body of Christ. And if you're a sheep, you need to belong with sheep. You're not a lone wolf out there by yourself. You got to be with other people. So how can you tell what's real and how can you tell what's fake? Well, the Bible will tell us that. You need to look at some things and don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by other people. Don't be fooled by yourself. And don't get disappointed because something's not working in your life and you thought you were walking by faith. So the Weiss translation says about that verse of Scripture, don't even be fooled. Don't even think that God's word doesn't work, that faith doesn't work. So people's attempt at faith, and when they have failed, and does not mean that God's word is failing or God's word fails or this faith doesn't work. When someone attempts to do something and they become ineffective, it doesn't mean that God's word is not effective. Romans chapter 3, verse 4 says, certainly not when it comes to that. God's word will always work. Will always work. You know what? I've been around here in this business for a little bit. And I went to school. It's a faith school. It's called a Bible college. You know, we don't call it a faith school. It's called Rhema Bible Training College. And I was there for a number of years. And some people laugh at us and they make fun of us around the world, even on TV. And in fact, before I went to that school, in this own city here, people have made fun of it and made fun of Brother Hagin, and there are different ones who say they're faith people. And you ever notice that? The faith people are the only ones doing a lot of big things in the world. It's amazing what you can do with faith. But, you don't have to put up with it. You don't have to listen to it. Just walk by faith. They call us the blab it and grab it bunch. claim it and have it or whatever you said. So, but anyway, when they say and make fun of it, because it's Jesus that said it. He said, whatsoever you believe in your heart and say with your mouth, you'll eventually have it. You'll have whatever you said. So that's what Jesus said. So we're just saying what Jesus said. And when they make fun of us, they're actually making fun of God and Jesus. So we're following what God said. So we're following exactly what he said. So there is an imitation faith. So sometimes, you watch some people and you see them walking along with the things of God, and something happens in life that has devastated them or really shook them. You know, one thing about this, I understand this. Jesus said this, and the word of God is true. In Matthew chapter 7, the Bible says the winds of life, the storms of life will come to everybody. Whether you're a born-again Christian, a Bible-believing person, or you're not a born-again believer, you're just a person in the world that has other kinds of faith and you believe in something else and you have other kinds of faith, the Bible says no matter who you are, the storms of life is going to hit everybody. We live in this world. But he said in the end, in the seventh chapter, the last few verses of that chapter, Matthew chapter 7, he said in there that in the end, the person who builds their lives that are founded on the Word of God, even though they had the rains, the winds, the storms, and the waters, he said these people, when it all settles down, they'll be still standing because they're standing on the Word of God. You have to anchor yourself on the Word of God. And so I understand this. Like, you know, it doesn't mean I'm never going to get challenged with sickness or disease. I'm never going to have a challenge with financial problems. It doesn't mean I'm never going to get challenged with my children having a hard time out there. Our kids have to follow faith too. They have to follow the Word of God. They might have to learn some hard lessons. And so we understand this, that if you stand in faith and believe God, that when all the challenges come, you're going to be still standing there. I learned this from a man who walked with God for, in ministry for 78 years, and he taught us the Word of God. And I listened very carefully to him over the years, and I paid lots of attention to him. I listened to him many, day after day, year after year, without fail, and put myself to sit under the teaching of the Word of God over year after year after day after day, night after night, looking into my Bible and studying these things for myself. Because I know if I'm going to get it, I'm going to have to study and understand myself. You know, I wasn't the best student in the world. I was talking about my wife and daughter. They were walking in the park last night, and they met up with someone in the dog park, and it happened to be my friend that I had for many years. He was my closest friend. I loved him like a close brother. And we sobered up together and had an apartment, and we had friends, and we did different things, and we were so close. I could say that's the very first time I ever actually loved a man like I did, like a real good brother. You know how David and Jonathan were? I felt the same way, like we were kindred spirits, we loved each other. And we separated over the years because he went his way, I went my way. I became a Christian. And not only that, because we lived in the same different cities. And I saw him very once in a while. I see him on television and different things, doing different projects. He became a teacher like myself. He actually teaches at university. And in school, he was not the best student. He was very smart, but he would just go to school. He wouldn't read very much, wouldn't study, and I would bug him and said, listen, did you read this book? He said, oh, no, I know all that stuff. And he would tease all the time. But this guy, he went to school, and graduated from school, and he had a great time in the things of his life, but he just kind of scraped by, and very often you think about old friends that you went through, and I don't know why I was telling that story, but it lost a point there somewhere. But here in Acts chapter 9, we see something that these people were copying somebody else. See, you can't just copy somebody else and call it faith. You have to know the word for yourself. If you got sick, it's not what I know it's going to help you. I could help some and assist you in some area, but it's what you know. So we teach the word every day, every week, twice a week here, and if you fail to show up, I might be teaching on subjects that you might need along the way. And if you miss, you can get in trouble, because God, if God brought you here, God wanted you here, and you miss when I'm teaching, whose fault is it? It's your fault. I got to come back. I got to continue to teach what I need to teach. And if you only got lesson one, you're in trouble. And so we teach on different. I don't just teach on one time on a subject on one sermon. I teach a bunch of sermons as the Lord leads me, and I teach things as people are need to be fed over here. So let's go over to Acts chapter 9. As we said, some try to operate in faith, but it's not real faith. They're only copying somebody else what they saw. We have to learn faith ourselves, and just not imitate people what we saw other people practice. Let's have a look at this right there. Acts chapter 9, verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jews, exorcists, took it upon themselves and called the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches." Verse 14. These were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. Verse 15. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" These guys must have saw Paul and the other apostles exercise different spirits and cast out spirits. They said, "We command you in the name of Jesus, the one that Paul preaches, come out of that person." That person says, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?" See, we have to know who we are. If we know that Jesus commissioned us and gave us the word to do these things, we can operate the same way. But we have to understand who we are as God's people and know what kind of authority we carry. And it's not how you feel and what you think about it. It's what the word says. What did God say about you? Who are you? But anyways, the man, verse 16 says, the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them, overpowered them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So they got a good whipping. That guy and the evil spirits and that guy just whipped these seven men, and they fled out of there. They're running down the street, their clothes all ripped up and all beaten, and they got a good pounding. And you don't want to be like this. You want to make sure that you know that you can take the name of Jesus. You know, I was talking to someone before I ever went up north to work, and as I traveled in the ministry, I was traveling different places, and the Lord led me to go to different places. I would go once a month, maybe three, four days at a time. Sometimes I'd carry a team with me. Sometimes I'd go myself because it's expensive. And so even before that trip, I remember talking to a man that I was in university with, and he said, oh, you got to watch, you know. Some people have demons, and I know of a case where they're trying to exercise the spirit out of this guy, and that guy overpowered everybody. See, I got that in my mind. I'm heading up the north, and I'm in a service, and the Lord said to me, I want to minister to somebody in that service. And so I stopped in the middle after the Lord began to really bother me and said to me, go and minister. And so I stopped. I said, the Lord wants to minister to somebody. So we brought this woman from the back. She was sitting in the back seat. Brought her down the, you know, I asked one of my ushers to help this woman up. They were coming up and halfway down the aisle, and she started flipping out. Her eyes started flipping back. Her tongue started hanging out like a snake. And a voice came out of her growling and saying different things and was angry. And, you know, back there, someone said about this evil spirit overpowering somebody. You see, you're thinking you're having a fight with this in your mind, but I refuse to put that in my mind. I just thought about what Jesus did. And in that whole place, the whole place was erupted. All the people were so gasping mad, and or at least not mad, but you know, they were just upset, and they were crying, and the leadership is crying, the pastor's crying. And what are you going to do as a minister? They might have saw this. They might have saw this happen before, but I didn't see that happen before. So I've never cast devils out like that in public ever. And so I said, in the name of Jesus, come out of that woman. That person said, I ain't coming out. Or at least that spirit said, I ain't coming out. I said, you have to. In the name of Jesus, I command you to come. So anyway, that spirit, just like the Bible, threw that person on the floor, started shaking and so on. And I just remembered all the things that Jesus did and what the Bible said. And I told everybody to calm down. It's going to, you know, the Lord said, tell everybody to calm down. So, you know, it took a while. There's a lot of commotion there. So, you know, I was not just imitating somebody else, because I had seen this happen. My own pastor, I remember when I was in the ministry as a helps leader, being in the helps ministry as an usher. And one Sunday night, we had this manifestation. These people came from a mental institution, came to a church. Some people brought two people in from a mental hospital. And the manifestation of demons started manifesting. I was ushering that time. And I saw this whole thing. The whole place went into some kind of uproar. The pastor lost control over it, and people were crying and shaking and scared. It was something real disastrous. And so I promised myself, if I was in authority, this never happened to me. So I remember that when I was ministering to this woman in one of the northern churches I was up to, and this was happening, the same kind of thing was happening to me, but I took authority over that. I said, it's not my church, this is his church. But I'm going to take authority, and we're not going to get scared. This devil has to come out because we command it in the name of Jesus. See, I was not mimicking what I said. I certainly was not mimicking what my pastor did back then. I was not mimicking somebody else. I was operating in faith. I said, this is what the Word of God says. It's going to come out. I don't care how long. It's going to maybe make some noise here. Jesus said the same thing, and it's going to happen. This devil's going to come out. And so this devil came out. I didn't have any problems with it. I didn't have any problems. But the lady told me later on what happened to her, and she was so happy to be released from this demon. It tried to make her commit suicide, and they would find her dangling on a rope, and different things happening. But this was a suicide spirit that was in this woman, and so she was able to get released from it. I thank God for that. So, you know, people fell in faith. They said, this stuff doesn't work, because they didn't know themselves. So you have to know for yourself. Even Jesus' own disciples failed to get an evil spirit out of a young person, out of a young lad. In Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 18, let's look at that. Mark chapter 9, verse 17 to 18. And one of the multitudes entered and said, Master, I brought unto you my son, which had a dumb spirit. Verse 18. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to the disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. They could not. I remember an incident, and in Mark chapter 5, I think it's verse 5, 6 in there. The Bible says that Jesus went to his own hometown, and he began to minister there. There was people there who were sick, and that needed ministry, needed help, and Jesus had the power to help these people, but the Bible says he could not do one miracle in his own hometown because of unbelief, because they would not believe him. They heard about Jesus. They heard what he taught. But the Bible says they had unbelief. They refused to believe or accept Jesus. And here's some people. They refuse to accept different things. They're sick. They laugh at us who teach on healing. They're having a hard time believing God, and some of them are dying. I've even seen some people die early because they couldn't have faith to believe in healing. They could have lived longer. Jesus said he couldn't help any one of those people because they refused to believe. You know, unbelief, there's two things about unbelief. Unbelief, number one, you'll have unbelief if you've never heard a teaching on something. So you could not believe something if you'd never had teaching on it. Number two, the second unbelief is a horrible unbelief, which is you heard something, but you refuse to accept it. You see that with the children of Israel. They heard God, Moses and the Lord told them, go, and they're going to go to the promised land. They heard God, the instructions from Moses, and God spoke to Moses, but they refused. And so they died. And this happens to different people because they get into disobedience. And so the Bible says here, that in verse 18, Mark 9:18, the Bible says they could not cast out the spirit. And yet Jesus gave them authority, and they couldn't do this. And so there's something wrong at times. There's some people that fail to make the Word of God work for them because they were not in the right, in the right perspective in some way or another. They need to check themselves. And verse 9, over here you see, in Luke chapter 9, and verse 1, the Bible says he called his 12 disciples, that is Jesus did, and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. So they already had this authority from God himself to cast devils out, and they, in this situation, they could not. Mark chapter 9, 19 and 20 says, he answered them. He said, O faithless generation, how long will I be with you? See, they were without faith because, faith works, but if you don't have faith yourself, things are not going to turn out right. So you need to know what real faith is. So the Bible says, how long shall I be with you? Verse 19. How long shall I suffer you and bring him unto me? Verse 20. They brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. He fell on the ground, wallowing, foaming. So I see this thing, same thing happen in my case where I was ministering to someone who had a devil. And that person fell down on the ground, shaking, falling, and doing these things. And so this is the same thing I saw, and I follow what God said to do. And in verse 25 and 26, Jesus saw the people came running together, and he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge you, come out of him and enter him no more. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and it came out of him and was as one dead, and so much that many said, he is dead. Because some people say, you can cast out a devil and cast him into the abyss or the pit. No, you can't cast him, but see, the devils are going to be here. If you cast out a devil out of somebody, it's going to try to look for somebody else to inhabit. That's what they do. So, the devil's going to be here. You have no authority. You know, some people do different things. Oh, we're going to pray. All the devils leave a city. No, they're not going to leave a city. They're here until Jesus comes. And you're going to have to deal with them because Jesus already gave you authority over them to not enter you and to not distract you and not to harass you. Maybe somebody is harassing you. It's not the person harassing you. It's the devil behind that person. Say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that spirit that's harassing me. I bind that spirit. I take authority over that spirit in Jesus' name. You will not harass me any longer. In Jesus' name, I forbid you. And so it'll stop. And so you have to understand that. So if somebody's bugging you online, if somebody's bugging you, you have to take authority over that in the name of Jesus. Amen. So the Father said later, to Jesus, if you can do anything for me, do something for me. That's in verse 22. It's not what Jesus can do for you, it's what you know to do for yourself, because God gave us authority to take authority in our own lives. As far as the seven sons of Sceva, they're imitating Paul or some other people they saw. And so you can't just go around imitating somebody and expect your faith to work. See, this is the thing about it. You need to know what real faith is in your own life. So those disciples heard Jesus say, go out and cast devils out. The Bible says faith comes by hearing by the word of God. So they had faith to do this, but they could not because they were unbelief. Things fail because you get your eyes off God or his word and onto the problem. And that can be a big difficulty for you. And it's not easy getting your eyes off situations that are bothering you. Some of them are life and death. I know it because I've been there. Things are life and death, and you have to keep your eye on the Lord. You know, in Numbers 29, there was an incident there where sickness and death broke out in the Israelite camp. And God told Moses, make a serpent and put it on a pole and lift it up and put it on a pole. When people look at that serpent on the pole, they'll not die because there were snakes everywhere. The Bible says there's serpents everywhere killing and biting people. And it was hard to see, for them to look, not see all the serpents on the ground. But they said, if you looked at that serpent on the pole, which represented Jesus, Jesus became sin for us on the cross. He became sin for us, the Bible says, so that we can receive, righteousness and that we can be born again and receive healing and health as well. So if you look at that pole, you wouldn't die and you would live. And so in times like tough times, you have to be able to look at the Word of God instead of your situation, instead of your symptoms, instead of your circumstance. You're praying for your children. And some of us have been through some hard times with our families and different children, different ones on drugs and really captivated. So you have to look at the Word of God instead of what you see. Turn your eyes towards that situation. Turn it on the Word of God. Put the Word of God to work, I'm saying. Put the Word of God to work in this situation. So is that easy? No. It's a difficult situation. You got to live like nothing's bothering you. You got to live like God's got it and you don't have it. And walk by faith, not by sight. When you don't have any money, and I have different projects coming on here. I remember one night when we were building the church and I needed like $3 million. Woke up one morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, said, where am I going to get $300 million? I know the people that work in my church, they don't have any money. But when God called you, I remember when God called you, he'll provide everything you need. And he has. And I didn't need the $3 million. I needed $5 million. I need more money. But anyway, God provided all the needs. I was telling somebody the other day, thank God that every once in a while somebody will come and give. Somebody you don't even think is going to give you money. Somebody who never think you're going to drop in money for the building or something. We need about, I was joking last week about you know, somebody giving me a gift. And I thank God. It's funny people that have a, you know, a sense of humor, they gave me like $100 and some gifts yesterday. I just rejoiced in that. Thank God for that. But, you know, they were saying, we know you were kidding about it, but we want to just bless you and thank God for it. But I'm saying this again. I think we need $300,000. We'll pay off all our property and all the things we need. And then we can start building our new other buildings. We want to build a women's center. And we've been saying it. I'm saying it again. But, you know, you have to say it. Faith will come. Even if I say it to myself, faith will come to me. But then again, you'll have what you say. I believe it. We're going to have some buildings out there, other buildings. We're going to build an auditorium, a bigger auditorium than what we have here. And it's going to be a large auditorium to fill a lot of people. And so we're believing God. I mean, God can do a lot of things. People say, well, you don't need a building. Hey, wait a minute. What did God tell me? He's not telling you that. He's telling me something. See, if he didn't tell you that, that's fine. Don't criticize me. But anyway, we need to follow what God says. And a lot of times, you know, I didn't believe things, and I don't blame people for not believing me, because I don't believe it myself sometimes. Because my head, if I listened to my head, I wouldn't believe me. I wouldn't believe anything I said. But you have to follow what God says in your heart. And if you follow what God says in your heart, there's two ways you get faith. One is you hear the Word of God by reading the Word of God. Secondly, God speaks to you by His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, and He shows you things. But on top of that, He'll give you words to verify what He put in your heart. So that's how faith comes. Now, you have to hear the Word for yourself. Let's close by this. We're going to talk about the woman at the well. See, when I hear faith, when I hear when God speaks to me through His Word, when I read His Word every day, every night, and throughout the day, I'll spend time in the Word. You know, for myself, I'll walk maybe 40 minutes. I'll pray most of that time. I'll walk 50 minutes, maybe an hour, and I'll pray in the Holy Ghost for most of that time I'm walking. So I get the exercise, the fresh air, but also exercise my body. And I pray in the Holy Ghost for different things that God lays on my heart. Usually I have a kind of a structure of what I do, you know, worship God and tell God how great He is and love on Him and pray for the needs of our nation and so on. I begin to pray on different things. And so I ask usually God, to give me things that I know that the Scripture says, and I'll praise Him for it. I don't always ask God for it. I just praise Him for it because it's in the Word. I'll worship Him because I say, thank God for healing. Thank God for sustenance and supply. Thank God that Your presence is real around me. Thank You, Lord, that I'm righteous and I operate in the righteousness of God. You know, He's Jehovah Shammah, He's the ever-present. So we get to worship God as I'm walking around. And I pray like that. So I'm praying in line of what I know, what God told me. And then He adds on to me as well. But your faith will only grow, and your faith will only be real to you as what you understand and what you know and what you hear from the Bible. So let's look at something here that will show us something like that. Hear the Word for yourself. John chapter 4, verse 39, and verse 41 and 42. Many of the Samaritans of the city believed Him because of the word the woman who testified. Let's see, it says here, He told me all that I ever did. So when the Samaritans had come to Him, they urged Him to stay with them, and He stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of His own word. See, the woman who Jesus ministered to in the fourth chapter, woman at the well, and Jesus prophesied over this woman and said, you know, go get your husband. She said, I have no husband. And Jesus said, yes, you don't have a husband. You had had five husbands. And the lady said, oh, you must be a prophet. And Jesus is a prophet. He was a prophet there. And He says, you know, she got convinced because the Lord had a word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and began to understand and told the lady what He knew by the Spirit of God, and began to speak to her. That happened to me before. We were sitting in a restaurant with a strange man, a man of God from Huntley Street. We were having dinner, and he spoke a word of knowledge to me, and I said, how does he know that? I never talked to this man before. But it was a word of knowledge, and God put something in me, showed me that that he was there with me and begin to verify something. But that's another story. And here in this case, Jesus is talking to this woman, and he gives the woman a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, at least a word of knowledge, and he spoke this to this woman. And this woman was amazed. Hey, this guy must be a prophet. And so she runs into a town and tells these people, he must have told her a lot of other things, but she ran into the city and said, hey, this is the prophet that we're waiting for, and come hear about him. And so she went and testified in the city. The whole city believed, the Bible says, and turned to the Lord. First, they believed the woman's word. And Jesus stuck around in that village for some time, a few days, the Bible says. And they heard Jesus himself. So Jesus hung around in that area. And the Bible says they heard Jesus themselves. He hung around there for 2 days later after he ministered to that woman. And the Bible says they heard Jesus himself, and they said, yeah, we heard you, we believed you, but now we believe ourselves. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe him ourselves. So, you know, we need to understand, the Bible says over here, let's go look at this again. So the Samaritans, verse 40, when he had come, they urged him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And verse 41 says, and many more believe because of his own word. So real faith is what you know and what you understand from the word of God. And real faith expressed is when you begin to act on what you know. That's real faith. It's not an imitation faith. You're not copying what somebody said, not copying what I said. You're not mimicking what I said. But it's okay to do that for a certain time. It's okay for us to quote somebody else that we know that are people of faith. But real faith is what you know for yourself. You have to know for yourself that God supplies all your needs and begin to call it in. And you don't have to ask anybody to pray with you about that. You can just call it in yourself. You don't have to have people to pray for you concerning healing. You could if you need to, but sometimes you don't need to. Sometimes there's nobody around. But so you have to believe for yourself. And so there's all kinds of things that you need to find out. And so over the years, I've understood these things, you know. And I would, not understand different things, but I understood by only studying the Word myself. So I made it a plan. I remember Brother Hagin used to say, you know, you might not need this today, but someday you're going to need this for yourself or somebody else in your family. So I made it the point that I'm going to study faith and healing. And I'm going to believe God that because I might need this someday. I might not. I'm not sick right now. But someday I might be challenged, and I'll be ready. And I'm going to stand and resist the devil with all those symptoms that's coming. I'm believing God. So I'm believing for all of you right now that you're going to study the Word of God, and you're going to read the Word every day. You're going to find a good study habit. Find some good devotionals. Read those devotionals. You don't have to get a whole pile of stuff. Just read a few minutes every morning before you leave. And pray. You don't have to have a 10 hours of praying at one time. Just pray 5 minutes. And pray throughout the day, all the time. Stay in touch with the Lord all day long. Pray in the Spirit, under your breath, wherever you are, in your office or wherever you are, even in the meeting. You can pray under your breath, you know, while you're there with people. You can do this all the time. Isn't that wonderful? You can live a vital faith every single day. You can make confessions in Walmart, standing in line, say, thank God he supplies all my needs. You can say, thank God I'm healed by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm healed. Thank God I'm rich, that God gives me all things richly to enjoy. Thank God his presence is all over me, that sickness is far from me. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise. I pray for my leadership of our nation. I pray for the Prime Minister in the name of Jesus. I pray for the Premier Doug Ford and all the leadership there. I pray for all the city churches, and I pray for all the people that are responsible for the health and safety of our city. In the name of Jesus, I bring them before you. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I command the devils, evil spirits, to get your hands off these people, that they'll do their work in the fashion that they should be, and carry out their responsibilities and duties, and strengthen every one of them and keep them healthy and strong, and that they'll have the wisdom of God to conduct their affairs and to help us, help our nation. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Hallelujah. I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray for all those people. Look on my Facebook. If there's anybody hating at me, I pray for every one of them people in the name of Jesus. I pray for every one of them. I pray the blessings of God come upon them and that the devil leave them alone in Jesus' name. The Bible says you pray for your enemies. Pray for people who are coming against you. Pray for your neighbor. Be good to people. And dig in your pocket and find something and go bless somebody. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. God loves you. We love you.